Hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Bob Rathbun here in Atlanta. I would like for you to raise your right hand and repeat after me. I solemnly swear I will not be upset ever again when my bracket is busted by Thursday afternoon. I mean, this is an annual event. This is craziness. Why they call it March Madness. And we will talk more about the first weekend with Fran Fraschilla coming up in just a moment. Just two items on our Jersey Mike's news and notes. And gosh, we hate this when star players can't participate in the tournament. Our heart goes out to Elizabeth Kittley for the Virginia Tech women. She is out with a torn ACL and cannot play in the tournament. Didn't play in the ACC for that matter, but lost for the Hokies in the NCAA tournament. And Kevin McCullough, the great defensive guard from Kansas, a bone bruise on his knee, holding him out of the NCAAs. We wish nothing but the finest for those. Now, behind the scenes, here at the Naismith Awards, our troops are gathering their forces. We are coming down the stretch. We're gathering our award winners. The voting is going on with our national voters for our Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year. All that's happening behind the scenes. We're getting ready to dispatch the troops to Cleveland and to Phoenix as we get ready for the Final Fours. But this is such an exciting time. We're coming down the stretch. So with that knowledge, we implore you to please join us on our social media channels as we are releasing information about our awards and our players and our coaches on a pretty much a daily basis from now right through the Final Four. So make sure you join us on Instagram and on X, Twitter, and join us for all the excitement. We are coming down to the wire. We'll chat it up with Franny when we come back after this from Jersey Mike's.
Good news. There's a Jersey Mike's coming to your area. You probably got a ton of questions, so I'll try to answer some. Yes, the meat and cheese for every cold sub is freshly sliced right in front of you. Yes, we grill every hot sub right in front of you. No, we do not accept pirate doubloons for payment. Yes, we have catering, 12 subs in a box. No, our restaurants are not haunted, I hope. Okay, congrats on the New Jersey Mike's, a sub above.
Okay, America, we got the man, Fran Fraschilla, in between rental cars, and happy to have him join us on the podcast. Big fella, we cannot wait for you in Phoenix to host the Naismith brunch. How are you doing, buddy?
Phenomenal, Bob, and I can't wait either. It's as we tally up the voting here down the stretch of the season, there's going to be some outstanding coaching candidates, defensive player of the year candidates, high school players of the year, and of course, the Naismith National Player of the Year, which is always an incredible thrill for me. You and I have been part of the Naismith family now for a number of years, and it's been a great college basketball season as we hit the start of March Madness this week. And I'm just looking forward to getting to Phoenix and figuring out who's left standing among the teams and who's going to get some of these prestigious awards.
Well, I was just in Phoenix this week, and I tell you, Fran, they are so excited. It is going to be a great Final Four. We know it's not their first rodeo, of course, but they are just so excited for this year's tournament.
I thought you were going to say they were so excited to see me.
Well, they had to temper their enthusiasm until you got there.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. That was a great Final Four in Phoenix probably 7 years ago now, six or seven.
Yep.
But
looking
forward to going back there, and it's a great part of the country.
All right. You brought up a couple of things on the NIT, and I encourage our viewers and our listeners to check you out. You are the voice of the NIT this year. Great basketball. It's great to see the kids have fun. But let me touch on a couple of topics that you brought up. And one is the expansion of the tournament. And I'll get to that in just a second. But we watched James Madison just dismantle Wisconsin on Friday night. My question to you is this. If JMU had not won the Sun Belt tournament, would they be in the NCAA tournament?
I'd say the likelihood is no.
All right. So what's the difference between James Madison and Indiana State?
Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Bob, it's a long time ago, but in 1995, I was a young head coach in Manhattan. We endured the same exact situation as Indiana State. The only thing that was in our favor was that there was no NCAA net rankings, because Bob Frederick, the late Bob Frederick, great man, former AD at Kansas, was the head of the committee that year. And we were lucky enough that we were dominant throughout the regular season of a mid-major league, just like Indiana State. We could not play any, no, we could not get anybody to play us unless we traveled all the way across the country, played a power five or six team. And we wound up losing in the double overtime in our conference final. We sweated it out, just like Indiana State. They didn't get in. We got in, and ironically enough, we knocked off Oklahoma. Kelvin Sampson was the coach. We've become close friends since then. And I absolutely think there should have been a spot for them.
Will your plan to expand the tournament help or hurt?
Well, I think here's the point. I'm a purist like you. If it was 64 or 68, I'd be in favor of it, as it is now. The reason I mentioned 72 is because, and hear me out here, it placates the football helmet heads a little bit, because that means four more mediocre teams from power conferences can get in the tournament, or more likely, some of these really good mid-majors like Indiana State and JMU. But here's how I would do it. Every one of the 32 automatic qualifiers are in the field. They do not have to play in the first eight. Okay, because my plan would be the first eight. After you pick the 32 automatic qualifiers, the 24 highest seeded at large teams are in the field. Then you take 16 teams for eight spots, and they are instead of the big first four now, it would be the first eight. They would then be seeded into the field, and so. To me, it rewards excellence in your conference. And if Wagner ends up playing or Stetson winds up playing UConn anyway, they're doing it without having to have a play-in game in the first four. The teams that would be in the play-in game would be at large teams, whether they come from big conferences or small conferences. That's how we get to 72. We don't expand the tournament at all because we can do this in the first week, and I think it would placate a lot of different factions.
Well, you know, I hear so much talk about these one-bid leagues, and you got to win your conference tournament. Well, no, you don't. The conferences can declare the regular season champion worthy of its at-large berth. It doesn't have to be the tournament winner. That's by choice. Would these smaller conferences be better off by declaring their regular season title holder to get then Indiana State's in?
Well, that would be the logical way to do it, but there's one thing that you forget, Mr. Rathbun, and that is TV. And the powers that be, and I work for one of the major networks, and certainly at ESPN, we love Championship Week. But if we do it that way, and it's probably the fairest way to do it, then we're missing out on all the excitement of Championship Week. Now, you and I both know, and I think the last I checked on the Saturday of Championship Week, at least 18 number one seeds were knocked out of their conference tournaments. Now, does that speak to parity? Maybe. But I think the hardest part about doing it that way would be that you would have pushback from ESPN and somewhat Fox, because they love Championship Week. That would be something we'd have to overcome. I wouldn't have a problem with it if it puts the best team in the field from your particular conference, but that's the one dilemma that you pose when you take the champion up from the regular season.
Right. I just
trying to figure out a way to reward these mid-majors and smaller conferences, because the trend is alarming.
Let me say one more thing.
Okay.
There was no greater pressure I ever felt in my coaching career than coaching in a one-bid league at Manhattan College. I got the three championship games, won one of them, and it was excruciating, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
And that 3 days when you've been the best team in your league for much of the season, and then to lose, you know, in your conference tournament is just not a good feeling. But on the other hand, Bob, the drama of Championship Week and the incredible highlights, plays, buzzer beaters, whatever, is kind of the reason we love the NCAA tournament, because championship week in some ways is like the first round of the NCAA tournament. Almost everybody is in the field championship week.
You got to be older to win in the tournament. True, false?
True. Absolutely true. This trend, we're here in Newark Airport. I think we might have a fire alarm. But
I thought that was your jump shot.
No, but if there's a fire alarm, I'm sitting put until we finish this podcast. But I think the trend has been since the trend was to fight Duke and Kentucky's incredible success with one and dones with older players. You know, I think it was our good friend Mike Bray who coined the phrase "get old and stay old." And if he didn't coin it, he made it popular with all the transfers he took at Notre Dame. And the thought process was the only way we can compete with Duke is if we have an older team playing against those one and done guys. Well, with COVID, with the transfer portal now, pretty much college free agency, more and more teams are older than ever before. And we've seen it in the tournament already with Kentucky going down. The simple fact is older players, even if they're not as talented, are equally as good, if not better, for NCAA tournament play than younger, more talented teams with very little to no experience in the NCAA tournament.
Transfer portal. Are we ever going to get a handle on this?
It's an issue. It's definitely, we're in a new normal. And I can tell you the genie's out of the bottle. The genie's not going into the bottle again. How we deal with the transfer portal and even the NIL situation, I think, is imperative. I'm for name, image, and likeness. Not necessarily excited about making these young people employees of your school. Graduation rates, by the way, totally out the window now. Nobody even talks about them anymore. This is a shame. I think that the dereliction of duty by the NCAA over the last 25 years and not dealing with some of these critical issues has turned college athletics, and particularly basketball and football, into the wild, wild west. And I don't know how we're going to get our arms around both subjects. It's going to be very interesting to me to see how this unfolds in the next 5 years.
Big fella, you're the best. Thanks for taking time out.
Always a pleasure, Bob. We will catch up soon, and I will see all of my friends in Phoenix for an incredible Sunday morning award ceremony where we honor some of the greatest young people and coaches in college basketball this season.
Can't wait. Fran, thanks so much, buddy. Safe travel.
Pleasure. Okay, Bob.
Hey, that's going to do it for this week. A Sweet 16 preview with Matt Norlander next week on the podcast. Until then, Bob Rathbun from Atlanta saying so long.